Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Helga Kaur, representing the May taxes. I'd also like to introduce my co-counsel, Alex Milkey, who is also on the briefs. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. This case involves a medical malpractice matter in which a laparoscopic cholecystectomy or removal of the gallbladder was botched when the surgeon, on inserting the initial trocar, punctured the wrong organ, punctured the patient's small intestine, did not notice that he had made that surgical error, closed the patient back up, sent him home, doctor went off on vacation. 2 days later, the patient presents at the Swedish Medical Center emergency room with various symptoms, including a grossly distended abdomen from fluid buildup. The doctor at Swedish ran some tests indicating the presence of infection, such as a highly elevated white blood cell count of over 16,000 instead of a normal 1 to 2,000 reading. The patient had bandemia, meaning that the body is producing a lot of white cells to try to fight the infection. So at Swedish, they admitted him, moved him to First Hill, which had a more intensive care.
Counsel, it's clear from the briefs that there was a problem here. There was an injury here. There was injury caused by the doctor. What's not clear is the adequacy of the declarations of medical professionals, and I would urge you to spend your time on that.
All right. It is our position that it was error for the trial court to dismiss the plaintiff's complaint on summary judgment based on the Keck versus Collins and Burnett case. The trial court, in its orders dismissing the case on summary judgment, did not address any of the Burnett factors as required. Furthermore,
the court said there was inadequate foundation.
Correct.
Now, that doesn't implicate Burnett. Untimeliness would implicate Burnett. So if the court didn't dismiss for untimeliness, why would we consider Burnett factors?
The second declaration of Dr. McCulloch apparently was not considered by the court for timeliness factors. But in any event, the court did not specify what the lack of foundation was in that case, and what the other sides argued is that Dr. McCulloch, despite having done a surgical internship, despite having a medical degree, despite having been board certified in internal medicine, and despite having been licensed to practice in numerous states, that she was not qualified to offer an expert opinion in this case. However, the case law is contrary. Both the Colwell case and the Eng case indicate that an MD, as long as they demonstrate sufficient knowledge of the procedures, is qualified to offer an expert opinion on medical issues.
So even if we don't look at Dr. McCulloch, do you argue that Dale Deo's declaration was sufficient to for purposes of summary judgment?
No, that's not our argument. Argument is that Dr. Deo's and Dr. McCulloch's declarations read together are
sufficient.
You had
to read them together?
Yes.
And why is that? If we just looked at Dr. Deo's declaration, why wouldn't that alone be sufficient?
Dr. Deo does not come out specifically and say this, or this was below the standard of care. What he says is that the surgeon here did not follow the manufacturer's recommendation to avoid puncturing an organ. The way to do that is to lift the fascia with a clamp or to first insufflate the abdomen with gas so that the surgeon could obtain visualization of the internal organs. The two of those together are very clear that Dr. Garnett did not do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Carol Sue James. I'm here today representing respondents Dr. Daniel Garnett, a general surgeon, and his wife, Mrs. Garnett, and the polyclinic. Seated with me at council table is Jennifer Koh, who represents the respondent Swedish Medical Center. Many of the topics that this appeal raises overlap both as to my client and Swedish. Rather than split our time, Ms. Koh and I agreed that if the panel has any questions regarding the claims specifically as to Swedish, we can reserve 2 minutes at the end of my argument for her to address those questions.
Okay. We'll count on you to keep an eye on the clock then.
All right. Thank you. My key points this morning are these. The trial court correctly struck the declaration of Dr. Candy McCulloch because a non-surgeon is not qualified to establish the standard of care for Dr. Garnett, a surgeon.
Well, even if we agreed with you, what about Dr. Deo?
Dr. Deo offered no opinions about that there was a violation of the standard of care. The extent of his testimony was that he found certain things about the care troubling. That's all he said.
Well, I think he says more than that. And let's back up. Do you dispute that there was a perforation of the small intestine? It doesn't appear that you do in your briefing.
The perforation is a known risk of the gallbladder surgery, and it did occur here.
The perforation that occurred here is a known risk.
It's a known risk of gallbladder surgery. And Dr. Garnett's testimony was that it happens approximately 1% or less of in gallbladder surgeries.
But he pulled it off twice in two attempts.
and repaired it immediately in that second surgery.
Was he using
instrument? It happens, and it can be immediately repaired.
I understand. I think we're just looking for you to embrace the facts and say why he shouldn't be held accountable.
Was he using a new instrument that he was not trained in?
He was using an instrument that he had performed this surgery 3,000 to 4,000 times. That was his
not time. With this instrument.
Yes, with a variety of instruments.
Well, that's right. But this is a new instrument, according to Dr. Deo, if we look in the light most favorable to the plaintiff.
The important point here is that the experts have not said that there was a violation of the standard of care.
Well, they have said. I mean, we've got Dr. Deo, who is very specific about and describes the problems with what Dr. Garnett did. He doesn't specifically use the language standard of care, but in not all cases do you need that if it's so clear that it was a breach of the standard of care. So was this a surgery that had been performed before using this sort of instrument by Dr. Garnett?
Yes, this is what this is a laparoscopic cholecystectomy.
I understand that, but there is a description of the use of a new instrument, a new TOCAR. Had he used
a trocar,
that before?
He has used trocar before, and
this
he had used
specific type.
And he had used trocar. This is a common instrument. This is the instrument that is used for laparoscopic cholecystectomy.
Well, there is a description of the difference between what had been used before, the TOCARs had been used before, and the one that was used in this surgery.
And Dr. Garnett specifically stated that he obtained visualization using this trocar.
It's more likely to perforate if you use this TOCAR, if you look at the evidence in light most favorable to plaintiff.
You have to
look at this, what's set forth factually in Dr. Deo's testimony, and you have to accept that. And if you accept that, why isn't that sufficient?
The plaintiffs acknowledged that his declaration was insufficient. That's why they went to get Dr. McCulloch's declaration. They themselves acknowledged
Even if they accept it, we're looking at this de novo. We don't have to accept it. So why isn't Dr. Deo's testimony and his declaration sufficient?
It doesn't state the specifics that Dr. Garnett violated the standard of care. It doesn't say what he should have done differently. It doesn't say that a different trocar would have produced a different result. There is nothing here that says that this is not a known risk of this surgery. It doesn't say that the use of this trocar was per se a violation of the standard of care.
What he says is that this optical trocar is newer technology and is to be used with caution by surgeons who are early users. So you accept Dr. Garnett was an early user? You have to. And then it goes on and it says, this complication, bowel perforation, was repeated. So Dr. Garnett's used it twice now and perforated twice.
That is because this is a known risk of this surgery. And he repaired the second time he did it, and he repaired it. This is the way that this operation
is
performed.
You keep saying this is a known risk of the surgery. What are you relying on for that? What evidence was there of that? And why isn't there a material issue of fact about that?
There's no issue of material fact because the plaintiffs acknowledge that that is the case. Dr. McCulloch's own literature represents that this is a known risk of the surgery. Dr. McCulloch represents that this is a...
But we're not looking at Dr. McCulloch. We're assuming you're correct, that there was lack of foundation. So all we have is Dr. Deo.
And we have Dr. Garnett, who noted that this is a known risk of the surgery.
Well, why isn't that a material issue of fact? It appears that Dr. Deo is saying that what happened here was below the standard of care.
The only thing that Dr. Deo is saying is that this trocar caused
newer technology.
That this trocar caused an injury. He doesn't say that happened. That happens only in that the use of this trocar is negligent. That the use of this trocar should not. That a doctor should not use this trocar. He does not say that this trocar always causes this injury. He does not say that no surgeon should use this trocar. He doesn't say that a perforation doesn't happen in the absence of a violation of the standard.
Well, he does describe how to properly use it.
And he doesn't say that he read Dr. Garnett's operative report to say that he used it appropriately. He didn't read Dr. Garnett's operative report. He didn't read Dr. Garnett's declaration. He's just working backwards from the fact of an injury to say he must have misused the trocar, and that can't be the basis for legitimate expert testimony. If he's saying there was an injury, therefore he must have done something wrong.
Well, that doesn't coordinate with the conclusion
that
is there evidence that Dr. Garnett lifted the fascia with the clamps, or placed, as he says, using a needle to pass through the gas for cushion? Is there evidence that Dr. Garnett did that? Because he's saying that's what should happen.
The operative report that Dr. Garnett produced, which Dr. Deo did not read, says that he obtained visualization, and that's what's key.
Well, that isn't what he's talking about. He's not talking about obtain visualization. He's talking about lifting the fascia with clamps. He's talking about a needle to pass in through the CO2 gas for cushion.
And that's what Dr. Deo specifically saying should have happened.
Do we know that that happened?
Yes, we do, because that's what Dr. Garnett specified in his operative report. He used the tool appropriately.
Well, he's used the tool before. You're just being very conclusory. You're saying.
And so then Dr. Deo is being conclusory. He's saying it didn't happen.
He's being very specific about what should have happened. And my question is, does Dr. Garnett's medical records reflect that he did what Dr. Deo is saying? And it's not enough to say, well, he obtained visualization, or that he believed he did this correctly.
There are multiple ways to insert the trocar. Dr. Deo is asserting his own version of one way to insert the trocar. Dr. Garnett used the trocar.
Why isn't that an issue of fact?
Dr. Deo, let's look at Dr. Deo's declaration. Hold on.
I have been looking at Dr. Deo's declaration. Yeah. And reading to you from it.
Yes, yes, Your Honor, but the Dr. Deo is not saying that this is that Dr. Deo never says that these elements violated the standard of care. He said he didn't do these things, but he doesn't say that it violated the standard of care.
Do you always have to say violated the standard of care in every case?
Yes.
Really, what do you cite for that?
That's the statutory requirement. That's the statutory requirement.
Aren't there cases where you don't? It's so obvious you don't need to state that.
It was significant. It was sufficiently inadequate that the plaintiffs recognized that and acknowledged it at the court.
Well, you've already said that before, and we don't have to pay attention to that.
To the plaintiffs' concession that they're withdrawing Dr. Deo's declaration.
When did they withdraw the declaration?
They acknowledged at the oral argument that declaration was insufficient.
That isn't withdrawing it. We have the declaration in front of us.
May I complete my remarks on other aspects of this case?
I think you've used your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
You get 5 minutes starting pretty soon.
Your rebuttal time, yeah. Oh. You reserve.
Excuse me, Your Honors. Do I also get 5 minutes to rebut the other
total.
Side?
Five total.
Okay, five total. First of all, we did not withdraw Dr. Deo's declaration whatsoever.
Did you concede that Dr. Deo's declaration was insufficient to establish there had been a breach of the standard of care?
What I recall is that I filed a declaration saying that we wanted, after getting Dr. Deo's declaration, we wanted something stronger, and so then we obtained the declaration of Dr. McCullough.
Well, what do you mean by stronger?
We got Dr. Deo's declaration, and he did not use the explicit standard of care language. So it was my thought we would... I'm sorry.
Did you ask him to use the standard of care?
That would be going outside the record, Your Honor, so I'm not going to do that. As far as perforations being a known risk, Dr. Garnett himself said it happens less than 1 in 100 cases. Dr. McCullough said the data indicates 3 in 1,000 cases or even fewer than that. With regards to the trocar that's used, Dr. Deo indicated that this was new technology. In the old days, they used to use a 10-millimeter trocar, which wasn't as pointed, and so there was less possibility of puncture. Part of what Dr. Garnett did wrong that fell below the standard of care is that he did not bother to read the manufacturer's recommendations for how to use this 5-millimeter optical trocar. And the manufacturer recommended that the fascia be pulled out with a clamp before inserting a trocar, or that the abdomen first be insufflated with gas. So their attorney says that Dr. Garnett obtained visualization, but how could he have obtained visualization if he didn't notice that he punctured the wrong organ? He didn't have visualization. That's why he punctured the wrong organ and didn't realize that he punctured the wrong organ.
Well, isn't there a video from the operation that shows what the camera showed?
No. Or we never got it on discovery or by asking for medical records. It's also not correct that Dr. Deo did not review the operative report. Dr. Deo did review the surgical report and all the medical records regarding the surgery.
He doesn't say that in his declaration, though, does he?
Yes, he does.
Okay, well, I'll look back at it.
I would say that would be in paragraph 6 of Dr. Deo's declaration. He certainly did review those records. Dr. Garnett, when asked about did he review the manufacturer's instructions on using this optical trocar, said it's not germane.
When do you have to have standard of care testimony by an expert, and when do you not need standard of care testimony by an expert?
Well, you need standard of care testimony, obviously, at trial, and you need sufficient standard of care testimony on the summary judgment. So, and I believe we have that. We have declarations from two physicians that are sufficient to show that puncturing the wrong organ twice, both times on the first insertion of this instrument, is below the standard of care. And then to not notice it and to close the patient up and to let infection rage for 9 days is also below the standard of care. I'd like to save my minute for the next.
That's it. They're done.
They're done? That was it? Oh. I would also indicate that Dr. McCulloch indicated complete familiarity with this surgery and how this surgery should have been correctly done. She does not contradict Dr. Deo.
But is it,
she
enough,
also indicates,
is it enough that she says she got that from reading and from talking to other physicians as opposed to experience with the surgery?
She also got it from her training, education, experience, her certification in internal medicine and in training and in handling these cases during her surgical internship and her residency at Stanford Medical Center. And in any sense, in any event, the case law says that as long as the doctor demonstrates sufficient knowledge, their evidence is admissible. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next up.